Well, as you know, we named the City on a Hill Teaching Center. Part of the reason I named it a City on a Hill Teaching Center was I wanted this to be a teaching center where the Word of God went out, but also it was to help empower each one of us to know what our role is in the body of Christ and so that we can be used on an ongoing daily basis by Jesus Christ, because it's not just the person who's teaching. I mean, we are all part of the body of Christ. And because of that, I've said from the beginning there's no programs here, but I want to share, Ed, if you would come up. Ed Sitter, I've known Ed for, gosh, it's probably pretty, that's like 25 years. Have a seat, Ed. Thanks, brother. I've known Ed for like 25 years, and Ed came to me, and he just has a heart and a desire to minister in a very specific way, and he wanted to know if he could use City on the Hill, and it's like, this is perfect. This is exactly what we're here for. So Ed is going to be getting a Bible study. It's going to start this week on Tuesdays. It's a Bible study. It's called Developing Your Christian Worldview. Did I get that right? Developing Your Christian Worldview. Ed, tell us what the thought process was behind this, and what's it going to look like on Tuesdays? Oh, yeah, you might need the microphone.
Well, first of all, you know, I really think that given the culture that we live in today, the moral relativism, the situation ethics, the political correctness, all those things that typically, even as Christians, it really impacts the way we view the world, the way we live our Christian faith. And so seeing that there was this dichotomy between what we profess as our faith and the way we typically live our lives, you know, I began to research that more, I realized that we don't have a comprehensive, consistent Christian worldview. Many of our worldview, Francis Schaeffer, who is a theologian and author, says that many of us acquired our worldview the way from our family and from the culture, the way children catch measles. You know, we just infected by it. And so many of us don't even realize that how disjointed, how in conflict the worldview that we hold is with our faith. And so this whole course is really designed to address that. We're going to look at two DVD series, actually a little bit more than that, but initially two DVD series, one by Chuck Colson, Rick Warner, and Gerald Long called Walking the Talk. And that's kind of an entry-level kind of get us acquainted, get us all on the same page of what we're talking about in the way of worldview and truth and that kind of thing. And then secondly, the DVD series that I'm sure many of you might be familiar with and focus on the family called The Truth Project. And we're going to be meeting every other Tuesday at 7 o'clock here at the City on the Hill. We're going to be meeting the off Tuesday. So those of you that attend the Bible study, you know, you won't have two meetings in a week if you choose to come to this. And I would really challenge everyone here to consider coming, because we give this little quiz at the beginning, and we have another group that we've been meeting with for about 3 weeks now. They're 15 young men who we would all consider, knowing them, if you knew them, that they're pretty vibrant about their faith. And on this quiz, evaluating your worldview, their composite score was a -2.
Wow.
So it meant their worldview was pretty worldly. Now, again, most of these guys are 35 and younger, so that's kind of makes some sense. But, you know, again, I've been walking with the Lord for years. I've been studying this for years, and I got a score of 85. I won't share what my wife's score was, unless she wants to volunteer, 72. So, you know, all of us need to grow.
Yeah.
Every Sunday, you share with us things about our faith, about exercising our faith. We're susceptible to the lies that attack the Word of God regarding our health, regarding the promises in God's Word, regarding our lives and the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. And this is just taking it to a different realm. This is taking it where we as the body of Christ confront the culture. So
when you live in this world, you don't realize, because we do live in the world, you don't realize how much just living in it does affect the way we view things and the way we even think ourselves. Yep. So it's going to feel like they come in, there'll be a DVD, and then open discussion.
Yes, we're going to watch. I'll outline the entire course, how it's going to run at the first meeting. But basically, yes, we're going to see a DVD. The first week, I'm going to talk a lot more than I do in the subsequent weeks, just to kind of give everyone kind of an overview of what's going to be happening. And then there'll be discussion. And like your Bible study, I think you spent how many years on one book or something?
That's what Four and a half years.
Four and a half. The whole purpose of this course is transformation. Romans 12:2 talks, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have a schedule, but really the goal is transformation. So if it takes us a couple weeks to get through one topic, so be it.
So it's going to be Tuesday, starting this Tuesday, 7 o'clock. This is not just for people here. I mean, Ed's inviting lots and lots of people. It's not just for people that are here. So if you know people that you think would be interested in this, you don't happen to have any flyers or anything, do you?
No.
Do you have flyers available? Could you bring them next time?
No. Yes.
Okay. If you know someone that is interested, just pass it on. Just pass it on to them.
And I could email something if you want to email it out.
Well, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for Ed. We thank you for his heart. We thank you, just Holy Spirit, for what you've laid on his heart to do. And even as he embarks upon that starting this Tuesday, I thank you and I praise you that you're going to bring people here, even people that have never been here before, and perhaps even people that don't even know Jesus that well, but they know they're not happy with the world. And even for those that have been serving you for a number of years, but they've just been influenced so much by the world that they need to have their minds set upon you. I thank you that these efforts, every other Tuesday, that Holy Spirit, you move through them, that you bring the people in, that you move through it, and it helps us change the culture as we change the culture around us. So thank you for giving Ed just wisdom, just for month by month direction every time he's here. We thank you and praise you that you are glorified in this and in this time. In your name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate you doing that. All right, well, last week we just began to look at how we hear from the Lord, how it is we hear from the Lord. And we just started to look at how it is that we're able to ourselves personally hear his voice speaking into our lives directly. This is something that, admittedly, as a body of believers, most of us struggle with. I mean, it's a difficult thing. We're not really trained. I don't think all the 30-plus years I've been in ministry, I don't think anyone ever trained me or even taught on how to hear from the Lord. It's just kind of an expectation that you'll figure it out on yourself, which the Holy Spirit will show you. But I just want to look, last week we looked very specifically at John chapter 10. I want to look at a good starting point this week. So last week we were looking at John chapter 10, and in John 10, that's where we saw Jesus using that illustration of the shepherd and the sheep. And the shepherd being Jesus Christ, he made it clear. The shepherd speaks to his sheep. So God is speaking. Jesus is speaking to every one of us all the time. And we also saw that we, as the sheep hear his voice. He's talking to us, and we're hearing. We just have to learn how to recognize his voice as he's speaking to us. Because again, even now, at this moment, he's speaking to every one of us. And it's a personal thing with him. He's speaking to us. We also concluded last week by learning who the doorkeeper was in John chapter 10. And the doorkeeper is the one that opens up the door to the sheepfold so the shepherd could come in through the door to where all the sheep were. And of course, the doorkeeper of John chapter 10 is the Holy Spirit. Because it's by the Holy Spirit that we hear his voice in our lives. So we know that we understand that we are designed to hear his voice. By your nature, by the nature that you've been created as a new creation in Jesus Christ, you are designed to hear his voice. We have the ability to, on an ongoing basis, we have access to hear his voice directly in our lives. We looked at this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 last week. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17. 1 Corinthians 6, 17, and I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible. It says, but the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. The person who is united with the Lord is one spirit with him. God is a spirit. So God's going to speak to us through that spirit that joins us together with him. Does that make sense? This is important for us to remember and to realize. Because we think that when we hear from the voice of God, we think that we're going to hear a different voice when God talks to us. We have an expectation it's going to be some kind of a different voice, but it's going to sound like your voice, and it's going to feel like they're your thoughts, because God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit. Your spirit speaks to your soul or to your mind. So it's the Holy Spirit in your spirit. Your spirit is speaking to your soul. Since it's your spirit speaking to your soul, it sounds like your voice. It feels like your thoughts because it's coming from your spirit. But the Holy Spirit has already spoken to your spirit. Remember, we are one spirit with God. This is how God speaks to us. Do we all understand that? Does that make sense? I mean, if we can understand that, then we can at least understand that he is speaking to us. And because we are spirit, soul, and body, and our spirits have been forever changed because the Holy Spirit dwells within us, if we understand that, then we do understand that we can, regardless of what your past history is, we can hear the Lord speaking to us every single day. We can hear that. When we hear the Lord speaking to us, it's not going to sound like a stranger's voice. When he tells us to do something, we expect God to speak to us like in King James English. Thou hearest and go hither. You know, if we don't hear him speaking to us that way, we think it must just be us. It's not God. That's not the way that God speaks to us. He's speaking to us spirit to spirit. So the thought comes into your mind from your very spirit. So it does sound like us. We need to learn to recognize his voice and differentiate it from our own voice. He's speaking to us all the time. And he wants us. He's speaking to us things that are for our personal knowledge for that day, even for that very moment. I want to hear those things. So we understand that we are able to hear his voice speaking to us, and that it's through the Holy Spirit that we're able to hear his voice speaking to us. So the next question becomes, how is it then that we actually, how do we do that? How do we hear him speaking to us? Because at the end of the day, that's what we want to know, right? Show me how to hear his voice. Because it is a struggle for us. It is something that's difficult for us. We have to get accustomed to the fact and to the thought. We have to get acclimated to the reality that he does speak to us and we can hear, and it's a personal thing with Jesus. It's personal with him speaking to you. It's a personal, intimate thing speaking to you. I may have shared this with you guys before, but if I did, it was a long time ago. So you'll have forgotten it. Many of you wouldn't have heard it before. But this is the first time that I ever heard the Lord speak to me. And I share this because this represents a good starting point for us to get comfortable in hearing and acclimate to hearing his voice. I hadn't been saved very long. Like maybe I was saved in the fall. And this took place probably in the spring. I was saved, but I hadn't really grown much at all. I didn't know a whole lot. In fact, I didn't really know anything at all. I didn't know any scriptures at all. But I was laying in bed. I was sound asleep. And it was in the morning. In fact, it was light. And it was just before I was about to wake up. And in that, what I like to call that twilight of sleep, I was just about to wake up. I heard my name called. And that made me jolt awake. Well, I knew there was no one else in the house at all. I got up and walked around and looked. There was no one else there. I went back and laid down again. And as I was laying there, again, this is somebody who's very young in the Lord. I knew. I mean, the Holy Spirit told me that was his voice calling me by name. Now, that was in the spring. That was just literally weeks before I actually took the job, my first job in ministry. Again, why they hired me at that point, I have no idea. But I took my first job in ministry within weeks of that. But that was God calling me personally. If you remember last week, we were talking about that illustration of Jesus that he used of the shepherd and the sheep. It says, let's look at it, John chapter 10, verse number 3. It says that Jesus calls his sheep. You're a sheep. He calls his sheep by name. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. You're hearing his voice. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. This is a personal thing with Jesus Christ. Jesus personally speaks to you things that are relevant only to you, things that deal with your life, things that you need to know that he knows that you need to know. It's a personal thing with him. Now, I want you to see some similarities between the story I just told you. And then think about the story of Samuel. when Samuel was young and when Samuel had first heard the Lord. We'll go back and look. This is going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Think back to when Samuel first heard the Lord and think about the similarities. Because God speaks to us individually. He calls us by name, and it's a personal thing. God is calling you by name. Every day he's calling you by name and speaking to you. He wants us to hear his voice on an ongoing basis. Now, as we look at the comparison, as we see what he did with Samuel, it's a really good starting place for us to, if we have a hard time hearing the Lord, it's a good starting place, it's good training ground to begin to recognize his voice. So here's how it reads in 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is verses 1 through 4. And again, I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was rare and precious in those days. There was no frequent or widely spread vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had dimmed so that he could not see, was laying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out of the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was lying down. When the Lord called Samuel, he answered and said, "Here I am." You know, we read these verses, and this is what I love about the Bible. There is so much in these verses that we just kind of roll through it. But this tells us so much, and we'll go through it, just some of the individual phrases individually. But this example of God calling Samuel and speaking to him, calling him by name and speaking to him, this is the training ground for us. It's the place that we can begin to learn to recognize and to hear his voice. Because God is calling and speaking to Samuel while Samuel is asleep. He's speaking to Samuel before Samuel wakes up. This is early in the morning. I'll show you that in just a few moments. He's speaking to Samuel early in the morning. Now, God has done this to me so many times in my life. Over and over again, I'll hear him speaking to me when I'm asleep. In that early morning hours, just before you wake up. And again, I don't know how else to describe it, but it's in that twilight of sleep. You're asleep, but you're so close to waking up. This is one of the times that we learn to recognize and to hear his voice. You know, if you guys remember, there was a couple of, well, really, the first 6 weeks of this year. I mean, I spent the first 6 weeks of this year talking about something I thought was going to take 1 week. But I was talking about the message that was for the year. And the message that had begun just the week before was that God, by his nature, is a redeemer. And that God redeems all of our situations, even the situations that we bring upon ourselves. God redeems those situations. Rhetorical question, but do you guys remember? Because I told you how that came about. Do you remember where that was all birthed? It all started just like a week before the end of the year. And Donna said to me, "Todd, you should probably have a word. You should probably have a word from the Holy Spirit for the people at City on a Hill for the year to come." Which I thought, that's a good idea, but I got nothing. I have no idea what that is. And it was just literally a few days before that last Sunday of the year that I was laying in bed and I was asleep. And it was just before I was waking up. It was in that twilight of sleep. But as I was laying there asleep, I heard God in a dream. I heard God speaking to me. And he said two phrases to me. And even though I was in a dream, and I knew in the dream, I knew it was a dream. But I knew it was God speaking to me. And I knew that I couldn't forget those two phrases. So in my dream, I'm speaking those two phrases over again. I'm repeating them so I don't forget them when I wake up. And then I woke up. And I know this sounds weird, but I woke up, and just in that step from sleep to waking up, already my mind was hazy. And very quickly, it was all dissipating. But I remembered that I just heard something from the Lord. I knew the Lord spoke to me, and so I focused on it, and those two phrases came back to me, and I knew I had to repeat those phrases to myself again and again that morning so I didn't forget them. And that's what spawned those whole 6 weeks, when those two phrases were, "Get out of the way. Great things are coming." Let me tell you, I have lived that for like 6 weeks. Well, 2 months, I guess, you know, for the year. Get out of the way. Okay, that was God speaking. But again, I want you to see that if you ever consider it a struggle. Now, next week I'll look at more details. But this morning, I want us to look. If it's a struggle for you to hear God, He wants you to hear. He wants each one of us to hear Him speaking to you directly concerning your day and your life. He wants to speak this. It's personal to Him. And if it's a struggle for you to hear, or you've never heard His voice before, it's just a matter of learning to recognize His voice. We just have to learn to recognize the voice of Jesus Christ. And we do that, a good way to start. Good training ground is what I'm talking about. It's the example we see from Samuel. Good training ground is learning to hear Him speak to us when we're asleep. When we have all the things of our mind, our natural mind, taken away, blocked, not influencing or affecting us at all. Expect to hear Jesus speaking to you. In the twilight of your sleep, seriously, in the twilight of your sleep, start to expect, when you go to bed, expect you're going to hear God speaking to you in your sleep. And watch what happens. Now, I'm not saying this is the only way that God speaks to you. In fact, it's not even the best way. Because God's speaking to you throughout the day, moment by moment throughout the day, He's speaking to you. He doesn't want you sleepwalking through your day so that you can hear Him. So I'm not saying that while you're sleeping is the best way, but I'm saying it's that starting point. It's that place where we learn to recognize His voice. It's where we can begin to get a sense of what His voice sounds like and when He's speaking to us. When did the Lord speak to Samuel? He spoke to them, and He spoke to him in the morning before he woke up. And you say, how do you know that? Well, this is why I love the details, the small details of the Word of God. Look at verse number 3. Verse 3 says, the lamp of God had not yet gone out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And Samuel was lying down. When the Lord called Samuel, he answered and said, here I am. The lamp of God had not yet gone out in the temple of the Lord. That's significant. Because if you look in the book of Exodus, in the book of Leviticus, and in the book of 2 Chronicles, all three of those places, it tells us. It was the job of the priest to trim the lamps at night. To, in other words, light the lamps. And they were to tend to them throughout the night and make sure the light was going throughout the night. But in the morning, at sunrise, the lamps were extinguished for a brief period. So if it says in verse number 3, the lamp of God had not yet gone out in the temple, this is giving us a time frame. This is saying that God was speaking to Samuel. Clearly, he's asleep. And he's speaking to Samuel in the morning, just before sunrise. It's in that twilight. It's in the twilight of the morning, and it's in that twilight of our sleep, when we're asleep, but we're very close to waking up. This is when God speaks to us. Now, He'll speak to you throughout the night. But I'm saying, if you want to learn, a starting place to learn, to hear His voice, and to know that He's speaking to you, this is a great training ground. This is the place where we learn to hear that voice. Get in the habit, and I've said this before, get in the habit of when you go to bed at night, let the last thought on your mind be the things of God. And then when you wake up, get in the habit of the first thoughts in the morning being on Him. Let your last thoughts be meditating on a word that you read, or just being with Him and thinking with Him. Let your last thoughts be on Him. Let your first thoughts in the morning be on Him, nothing else. Don't get up, turn on Fox News. Don't get up and do something else. Get up and hear, listen to Him first. When you get in the habit of hearing Him and being with Him and having your thoughts on Him when you go to sleep and when you get up, when you get yourself in the habit, it's training you to hear His voice. And you'll begin to hear that voice in the twilight of your sleep. In the morning, you'll hear His voice. And here's the thing. When you hear His voice speaking to you in the morning, you'll begin to recognize His voice. And when you learn to recognize His voice in your sleep, you can then recognize His voice when He's speaking to you throughout the day. If you learn to recognize His voice in your sleep, when it's easy to hear His voice, then it makes it easier to recognize His voice throughout the day. It's that good starting place for us to learn how to hear the voice of God. All right, let's go back and look again at Samuel. In 1 Samuel, in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says that in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. It says that there was no frequency in hearing of Him. And it says there was no widespread vision of God. That's very much like the world today. You know, it's very much, that's what Ed's going to be. This is what Ed's doing with his Bible study. Much of the world today, and even in the body of Christ, there's, most of us have not learned to hear. There's no frequency in hearing his voice in our individual lives. That's the way that it needs to be. We need to have that frequency. Why was it in those days? In those days, why was it that there was no frequency in his days? Well, if you go down to the next verse, it tells us. It says that Samuel's eyesight was becoming dim. Samuel's eyesight was dimming. Samuel was the priest. Samuel was the one who was supposed to be listening and hearing from God. But he'd stopped listening and stopped hearing to God. Why did he stop hearing from God? Now bear with me. This will make sense. Why did he stop hearing from God? He stopped hearing from God because his vision, his eyesight was dimmed. Now, I know it sounds like I'm mixing my metaphors. Because how can you not hear because you can't see? But you'll see that these things do tie together. It's because Samuel had closed himself off. Eli. Did I say Samuel all through? Did you guys know what I was talking about? Don't listen to what I say. Listen to what I mean. Okay, so Eli, have I done that a lot? Yeah, I'm consistent though. So Eli, because his eyesight was diminished, he was not able to see. The diminishing of the eyesight had a natural reality. There was a natural reality. I mean, there was, truly, I do believe that this meant his eyesight, his physical eyesight, was diminishing. But it also indicates that Eli himself was closing himself off. I got it, Eli. Eli himself was closing himself off from the things of God. You see, the less that Eli had his eyes and his vision on the things of God, the more Eli was looking at the natural world and the natural things. And if you read the story of Eli, you will see that his eyes were on the natural. He was focused not on God, he was focused on his sons. The more that Eli was focused on the natural world, the less Eli was able to see and perceive the things of God. So Eli, because he focused on the world, had a diminished view of the things of God. For you and I, when we focus too much on the world, when we don't have that Christian worldview, we haven't developed that Christian worldview. If we are not focused on the things of God, focused on the things of the world and not on the things of God, it diminishes our ability to see the things of God. But in addition to diminishing our ability to see the things of God, it also hinders our ability to hear God as well. We'll explain that in just a moment. So Eli's eyes diminished. This is why there was no hearing. This is why there was no frequency of the word in those times. This is why there's not a frequency of hearing God in these times. We are the Bible. We are the people of the word. We are Jesus. We belong to him. He dwells within us. Has there been anybody? I mean, I've been in ministry for 32 years. Has there been anyone that has ever been taught how to hear the word of God? This is why there's no frequency in hearing God. We need to learn to recognize individually hearing God's voice in our lives. When I learn to hear it in my life, I'm going to learn to hear it so I can speak into your life as well. And you can speak into the lives of others. But you have to learn to recognize and hear his voice, to hear what he has to say to us. We too often become like Eli, where we're so focused on the things of the world that we can't see the things of the word. When we dull our spiritual senses, think about this. When we dull our spiritual senses, like our spiritual vision, it affects every other part of our senses. If I dull my senses spiritually so that I can't see, it's going to dull all my other senses also. I won't have the spiritual sense to be able to hear. And yet Samuel was the one who had vision. Samuel was the one who looked towards God, and Samuel had an ear to hear him. Samuel was being trained at this very moment. Samuel was being trained to hear the Lord. And it was good training for Samuel. because Samuel grew to become a great prophet of God. He heard the voice of God all through the years of his life. Guess what? You and I have a better covenant than Samuel. Your ability to hear the voice of God is vastly superior to Samuel's ability ever in his life to hear God. You and I have a greater opportunity to do that. The lamp is lit. God is speaking to you and I every single day. He's speaking to us. He's speaking to us in our homes, our cars. He's speaking to us at college. He's speaking to us in our life. He's speaking to us even in the hard times in our life. He's speaking to us every single day. The lamp's lit. We need to be listening. And the training ground is, if this is something that is difficult for us, the training ground is learning to hear him in the twilight of our sleep. Because when you're sleeping, your natural mind, your conscience thoughts will not work against you, convincing you that you can't hear God. Because as you go through your day, if your past history has been, I never hear from God, and you haven't experienced it, your natural mind tells you you're not going to hear from God today either. It's not possible for you. This is why it's such a great training ground when you're sleeping. In that twilight of sleep, expect, anticipate that you're going to hear from God. So can we really hear from God? Is it possible? Well, I think obviously the answer to that is yes, but would you expect that I would give you evidence of that from the magazine, the Scientific American? I was just reading. Does anybody ever get Scientific American? Okay, Scientific American is one of those magazines that you can look at scientific. Do you read that? Do you read that, Amelia? Scientific American is one of those magazines that if you look at it and read it once in a while, you can read through a whole, what is it called? Magazine. Issue. Thank you. Boy, I don't know why that word eluded me. You can go through a whole issue and there's like nothing there of any interest. Then all of a sudden you'll read one. But if you look at it like Ed is going to teach, if you will look at things like that with a biblical perspective and through the lens of the Bible, if you'll read things in that way, it's amazing the things that you see. And so I was reading this article that they had in there, and they were talking about our vision, our eyes, and our ability to see. Now, all of us, I think, understand that the way our eyes operate, if you're in a room that is darkened, your pupil is going to dilate. So it's going to enlarge. It enlarges so it can take in as much as of the available light as possible so you can see as much as is possible. Conversely, if you're in a place where there's a lot of light, your pupil will constrict so not too much light gets in there. So we all understand that. Well, there was an experiment that was done, and that's what this article was talking about. And in this experiment, they had a number of subjects, and they put the subjects in front of a computer screen. And then above them, looking at them, was a camera, and the camera was focused on their eyes. And the camera was able to measure the degree of the pupil dilating and constricting. And so all the individuals would look at this computer screen, and they would show them a series of different triangles that would fill the screen. And the triangles had varying degrees of brightness. And so with that camera, they would see as every triangle came up, depending upon the degree of brightness, the pupil would either dilate or constrict. That makes sense. Nothing great there. They turned the computer off, and they would just talk to the subjects while the camera was still on their eyes. And they would say to the subjects, think about the orange triangle. And if the orange triangle was really bright, even though the ambient light had not changed in the room, just their thinking about that orange triangle, because it was brighter, would actually make their pupil constrict. In fact, if they would tell them to just imagine yourself on a beach, on a bright sunny day, and the sun is reflecting off of the ocean and off of the sand, think of how bright it is. Just imagining that, and their pupils would constrict. The light hadn't changed, but the pupils did. We think of this as something that just takes place without, we don't think about it. Have you ever thought about, I better constrict my pupil, it's getting kind of bright outside. These things just happen. But what this tells us, and this is what was exciting to me, our physical senses are not governed only by the physical world, right? They're governed in part by our imagination, our thoughts, and here's the key, our expectations. Our physical senses are governed in part by our expectations and our thoughts. There's always a parallel relationship between the spiritual realm and the natural realm. In the same way that our physical senses are governed in part by our expectations, so our spiritual senses are governed by our expectations. So in the same way that the natural eye opens up so that it can take in more, so that it can see more, we need to open up our spiritual senses as well so that we can take in all the things that God has for us. We need to open up our eyes. I need to have the expectation that when I go to sleep at night, I'm going to hear God speaking to me. I am expecting in my spiritual senses, I'm opening my spiritual senses to receive more of what God has for me. This is, I love it when science, and they don't realize that they're proving the things of God. Yes, we can all do that. Have that expectation. When you go to sleep, have that expectation. Spend that time. Think about those things and watch what he does. So, can we really have God speak to us personally and individually? Can I really expect that in the twilight of my sleep, can I really expect to hear God's voice speaking to me? Can I really expect him to call me by name? Can I expect him to have a word for me for today? Can I expect him to be speaking to me throughout the day with guidance, direction, wisdom, encouragement, and truth? Yes, this is what we're supposed to expect. Let's look at this. This is Mark chapter 4, verse 23. Again, I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening. If you got an ear to hear, let him be listening. If you got an ear to hear, listen. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. So this verse is saying, if you have an ear to hear, you can hear. We've already seen. Jesus has already demonstrated. He's spoken in his word. We saw it last week in John. He's the shepherd. The shepherd speaks. The sheep hear his voice. Do you have an ear to hear? You have an ear to hear. You were created by God when you became that new creation. You were created with the design to be able to hear his voice. We can hear his voice. We should expect to hear his voice. It also says, let him be listening. If any man has an ear to hear, let him be listening. We think, you know, we read that and sometimes we think, this is Jesus speaking. If he has an ear to hear, let him be listening. We read that like Jesus is saying to some cosmic forces, stop blocking their ability to hear. Let him hear. That's not what he's saying. The only person that's blocking the ability to hear God's voice is me. When we see, and I said this last week, when we see the word let, so many times, especially in the New Testament, so many times when you see the word let, it means there's a choice. Jesus is saying, he that has an ear to hear, choose to have an ear to hear. If you have an ear and you choose to hear, let him listen. In other words, make the choice to hear, to listen, to expect, to have that expectancy to hear the things of God, to God's voice speaking to you on an ongoing basis every single day. And if you'll listen, and if you'll determine to hear him, if you'll make that determination, if you'll make the determination to hear his voice as he's speaking to you in the twilight of your sleep, if you'll make that determination, it goes on to say, you'll perceive and comprehend. If you will make that determination to hear his voice, you will perceive his voice, and you will comprehend his words. And guess what? Not everybody comprehends his words. Not everybody perceives his voice. In fact, for most of us, we've had difficulty with those two things. So what does it say in that verse? If any man has ears to hear, you already know, we've established, you have ears to hear. Let him, it's your choice. If you choose and determine to listen to him, you will recognize his voice, and you will perceive his words. It doesn't just come naturally, though. There is flesh. This is the flesh that we live in, and this is contrary. We have to get that out of the way. Determine. Expect to hear his voice. Then you'll recognize his voice, and you'll perceive. It doesn't just always happen. There's two great examples. Look at John. Real quick, we'll look at these. John chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. And then we're going to look at Acts chapter 22 and verse 9. But these are two examples that show us it doesn't just happen. You've got to make the determination and then expect that you will hear. So in John chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." God spoke. Jesus said, God spoke. God spoke for all to hear, but guess what happened? Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. They heard something happen, but they didn't hear the voice of God. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. God spoke! And yet those who were standing right there, they heard something. They didn't know what they heard. We have to be determined to hear and expect to hear. Then we will recognize his voice, perceive his voice, and comprehend his words. We see the same thing with Paul at his conversion in Acts 22, verse 9. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So here again with Paul. Paul heard the voice of God, and all those around them were aware of something, but they didn't hear the voice of God. The voice of God is speaking to you every moment of every day. And he's speaking to you for your good, for your encouragement, for your hope, for you to understand the promises that he has for you. He's speaking to you to encourage you, to strengthen you. He's speaking to you to warn you. He's speaking to you so you can speak into others and encourage them. Next week, we'll look and see how we can do that more directly. But between now and then, if it's a struggle for you to hear the voice of God, and if you're old enough to comprehend my words, I mean, so if you're 3 and you can comprehend the words, or if you're 93, which no one here is, but you've never heard from God, today is the day, and this week, make it your determination that when you go to bed, you lay your head down, let your last thoughts, if you truly want to learn to hear from God, that's the training ground. This is the best way to start learning. Focused, let your last thoughts be on God. Let your first thoughts in the morning be on him. You're training yourself to hear his voice. Expect that during the night you're going to hear him speaking to you in the twilight of your sleep. Amen? You guys believe that? Do we receive that? Amen. Jesus, I thank you and I praise you that you do speak to each one of us. I thank you that you're speaking to us even now. It's my desire, and I know it's the desire of everyone in here. And I believe this. I speak this over this body and even those that couldn't be here this morning. But everyone that is here, whether they're here physically or whether they're with us in Virginia or in Indiana, I believe this to be true for every one of us. I know that you're speaking to us. So I just believe, Holy Spirit, that you open up our spiritual ears, that we have that expectancy and it opens up our spiritual senses and we expect to hear you speaking to us. And so whether it's 3 years old or whether it's the oldest one of us here, I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, that each one of us is going to hear you speaking to us. We have that expectancy. I thank you and I praise you. In your name, Jesus, amen and amen.